Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Yo-ho-ho! Money Line is live. You know what it is. We are right here on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. I'm watching Tiger putt, and when it's MLB opening day, Donnie, what more could you ask for?
Nothing. It's beautiful. The only thing that could be better is the weather around my area, but as opposed to sitting back, relaxing, and seeing Augusta, which this is why we love Augusta, right, Kevin? Us, we're sitting here in the Northeast. It's terrible outside. It's about 45 degrees, pouring down rain where I'm at. And I look at Augusta, and it's beautiful. It looks like it's in 4K every single year. Beautiful, and I love it.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Tiger, by the way, has already made people some money. That FanDuel Sportsbook boost did cash. I know the first two were par, Donnie. Was third par as well, or did he, obviously he didn't bogey. Did he by chance get a birdie yet? Do you know what he's shooting at the moment,
He's actually one under right now. I believe I think he's headed to the seventh. I have the ESPN app up right now. Okay. So I'm watching. They have like the selective groups that you can watch before the telecast actually kicks in and, you know, starts to show everybody. So he is playing well. And I got to tell you, like, remember, like, the through three holes, he did finish even, made money. The first hole, terrible drive, terrible approach, chipped it to like within about 10 or 15 feet and knocked it in. So right off the bat, I was looking at that bet like, you know what, it's already going to go up in flames and that's the way it's going to be. But he secured that. You can actually – now here's the thing. Watching Tiger Woods play, the par three is the one he birdied, which, you know, less torque on your body, what, 160, 170, 180 yards, whatever it would be. Knocked it stiff within like 3 feet. But you can tell, unless he's doing one of those Jim Brown moves where Jim Brown used to say, man, I'm just going to limp so bad all game long, and then when I get the football, I'm just going to be like, it's that guy running out here, like just to try to throw him off. Because you can tell, Kevin, walking like up the slight hills, it looks like he's not all there yet.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, I did not know that. That makes, I mean, man, yeah, like it's kind of my first time being able to turn it on. I actually had an eventful day when I left the office.
Oh, nice.
How about this? I turn the car on, and the thing goes, PSI pressure, back tire, 6. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
6. Ah. Now, for anyone that out there doesn't drive, if you're in the 30s, it's less than ideal.
Yeah, like 28, 26, it's pinging. Yeah, 6.
Yeah, like, I looked out on that thing, was flat as can be. And I'll be honest with you, I have never experienced a flat before.
Wow, ever. There you go. Yeah.
I called my father. I'm like, should I just drive it anyway? He goes, what? You can't. You're going to ruin the rim. No.
Man.
So, I mean, I was able to call someone who lives nearby, get some help. But, man, I'm like, is this all day? Am I going to miss the Masters MLB opening day, like money line? I was distraught.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the simplest things to do, which is usually the hardest until you actually understand what you're doing, changing a tire. Me, I'd rather call AAA or have somebody else do it here. But it is a terrible feeling that you don't get that often. And it usually strikes you like the oddest times. Like, all right, let me get out. Now, hold on here. You know what I mean? It never strikes you like when you're at, like when you pull up to like your family party. It's like, I got a flat tire. Like 19 people can help you out. It's no big deal. It always strikes like, man, I didn't expect this at this point.
Yeah. It's like, of course it was pouring rain. Like, never once happened in New York where the family's right there. Like, this is Jersey, Don. This is what I come to expect here from this place.
Exactly. This is what we do. When you talk trash on the state of New Jersey, it's how it comes up. And could be New Jersey. Could be just something random. Could be someone that works in that same building that took down a basketball, you know, pool, per se, and not happy with the way it went down, some of the comments. Could it be?
Oh, you know what? I think that might be. We might have found our culprit. The statistician woke up a little early and started getting tires.
Yep.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yep.
I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, it's a shame the Yanks game's not on right now.
Yeah.
But how about, Donnie, the introduction of the 2-by-1? I mean, wow.
Let me bring it up here. So do we have a 2-by-1 in the Cubs game? Okay, so let me see. Let me just get a look at it, though.
Yeah.
What is it actually under?
It's a 2-by-1 tab. It's its own tab.
I got same game parlay, innings, away team at bat, home team at bat, first half hits and runs, alt lines.
Don't go into a game. Don't go into a game. Go just click MLB.
Oh, there we go. Tops. Yeah. Okay. So two hits. Okay. So two hits in the first inning. I got to tell you, I'm kind of surprised that they're juiced this heavily.
To the yes?
To the yes.
Yeah.
Because, and again, I'm not saying that it's not a good bet. There's no real way overall. I mean, I guess you can sort of cap it, but one inning is a lot of, you know, luck that you need to get a couple hits and stuff like that. But the first game, right? Washington and Mets. -164. Like, I don't think I could put, like, it almost is like I would be betting nose consistently here and cheering that on. That's the way it sounds like for me.
Yeah, so I agree. I think it's a lot to. Here's the thing. Those are going to have to get boosted, I think, to bet them. Because I'm not laying juice on something that, again, we've often... I mean, in the NBA, it's way more random three-point shots compared to will people get hits because the at-bats are guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting market. It's totally brand new. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to have a game coming up here. Maybe get involved in a yes or no first run inning bet just so we can really get something for the show popping. A lot of good stuff coming. We are live with you right here on a Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are we ever live right here with you on Sports Grid? Detective Donnie's at it again, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You give Donnie an inch, he'll find you. He'll find you.
We will. Give me a computer and I got you. That's all I need.
That's so funny, man. So, Donnie, I got to throw something your way here.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone about my pick six today on the baseball side.
Yes.
I was like, hey, what do you think there? You know, and obviously, two things I was really interested in is the AL and the NL MVP markets. I thought they were really interesting. And it's a shame kind of the way the baseball season is. There's so much going on. And if we had enough time, like baseball started in May, Don, we'd been able to do weeks of build up to some of these markets. But I told someone, I'm interested in the Trey Turner number. And it's like, it just doesn't have enough pop probably to win an MVP. Like, yeah, but they're batting third. Like, probably 100-plus RBIs that could be in range, which is wild. And this person goes, and I go, what am I talking to, Donnie? And I go, perfect person to bunt people over to second and third.
Ooh.
And I'm like, is there a world? You have the Dodgers win the World Series. I'm like, is this Donnie's perfect team? Like, Mookie gets a base knock, Freddie walks. They're really going to bunt with Trey Turner every time in that spot. Because he's got a good chance to beat it
out. No shot.
They are, Donnie.
No, that would be if Trey Turner was like the 2-hitter or the 7-hitter or something like that in the 3-hole. Like, you're supposed to do damage. Like, if you got two guys on and you're that good of a hitter, the pitcher has no choice but to like throw and come after you. So I would doubt he just laying down. But I would have, you telling me, if the Dodgers show up opening day and the first two guys walk and they sack bunt them over to second and third. Like, I'm just tuned into Dodger baseball the rest of the way, man. Like, I'm just tuned in. I can't even take it anymore.
Donnie puts a large wager on that World Series, like, price all the stuff. Like, I've never been more scared of, like, someone's notion in my life that, like, Trey Turner will have more RBI opportunities than he knows what to do with. But he's going to break the all-time sack bunt record
and
push Mookie to third base after a leadoff double. I'm like, this just cannot be true, what I'm hearing. But I'm like, maybe so. It's man, like, and then the Trout thing too, Donnie. Like, and I know things have changed and I'm sure the health is a part of it and all that. That guy, Donnie, was under 200, plus two. Was, I think it was like plus 125 to win AL MVP last year. And he's now plus 600. Like, barely is someone that far up the leaderboard. You go, what value? I can't look at Trout's price as anything other than legitimate value when we talk about the MVP race.
Yes, and he was injured last year, so you didn't get to see him that much. So the reason I'm bringing this up is you don't get the, well, he just won it the last 2 years, man. If somebody else is even close, I'm just giving it to the other person. He's been away. So now you're still, as we, you know, I use the 10 home runs in April. Like, the minute he does that, up, crown him. Because he's just going to go off this year, unless he slides into third base and breaks his hand or trots around the bases and his calf explodes. But we're expecting a big year out of Mike Trout and expecting nonetheless that he should dominate.
And let me just listen. I know it's a tough adjustment. People whose opinions I like, some certainly who I don't, but even people whose opinions I'm a fan of continue to. I heard someone the other day, Donnie, breaking down Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. Saying, man, listen, that guy might be as good as, you know, he's as good as anybody, but the Nationals are going to be terrible. I can't bet him to win MVP. Last year, neither the AL or NL MVP were in the postseason. You can bet Juan Soto. He's not a favorite by mistake guy. Like if it comes down to it, maybe the record could factor in, but it is the sport where record matters the absolute least when we are talking MVPs, Donnie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's. That's the way it's going to be this year. It's a fascinating market overall. Like, we just saw the NBA, right? The way they're heading down the stretch here. Now, who's the first Major League Baseball national writer, about 25 games in, poll that question, who's the MVP, and watch these odds swing wildly. I'm waiting. This is the new MVP market. This is the new MVP market right now, and I'm here. I like it. Like, because I think you can have almost like that bounce. Like, ooh, I think this guy is, no. Writers say it's this one. Like, ooh, how's this market going to adjust to this? Because I think we're all waiting for Jokic to win this. We're like, well, all we have to do is wait till the straw poll comes out and just hammer it, and we'll all be millionaires if you want.
It's going to be very funny. Next year, we get to straw poll 2.0. Someone is like plus 190. Straw poll 2.0 has them winning, and everybody hammers the bet. Everybody unloads.
Yeah.
And then it goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, this year it probably doesn't go wrong, Donnie. I don't think it goes wrong, at least. We didn't even, like, is Denver in action today? We didn't even get to preview the NBA board.
I took Jokic. Jokic is now up to 29.5. Like, that's a very high number for him. Because there is a tax, and I took it. I think it makes sense. When you are finally in that, we have two or three game left mode, and whatever I do is going to seal up an MVP, your team helps you out as well. Like, Joel Embiid going, do they want to beat Toronto? Absolutely. But it's almost like, first and foremost, let's get Joel to 40 points, then see what the scoreboard looks like. And Denver's probably doing the same thing. Like, you owe it to your boy, right? If I'm coming into a game as a wide receiver, I need 100 yards to make $1 million. You know, unless it's like, hey, if we don't win this, we're not going to the playoffs. If you're secure, like, hey, man, look, let's work on your 100 yards and then see if we can win this football game after that. That's the way it goes down sometimes.
Like the Gronk stuff this year, right?
Yes. Leave him until he catches it.
I just got to get him a couple more. I got to tell you, though, Donnie. Like,
see him take a shot at it today with his interview? It was great.
Who?
Gronk.
Wait a minute.
Gronk
hold on to that quickly, then. Let me just finish this one thing on Jokic, because that's interesting. I haven't seen it.
Yes. Yeah,
his points, rebounds, and assists is 50.5.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll give everyone full. Like, listen, Donnie, people like to talk about full transparency. I'm not gonna open that. I told people about the 50.5 in the game versus the Spurs. I personally did not bet it. As I got closer and closer, you outthink yourself. I just got this weird feeling. I'm like, this number's so wrong. I don't know what to do. He obliterates the number. In the 60s, again, points, rebounds, and assists. It's like 6-7 games in a row that he's in the mid-50s, like low 60s for points, rebounds, and assists. And it's just 50.5 again. I do not know what the sports books are doing here. Like, they are expecting just this windfall of money at some point to come in, and they are going to cash on these unders, and they are running out of time. For that to happen, and maybe they think that's what the postseason will be for them. I do not know, but Donnie, it's not getting close. Like, because when you said the points prop, and I know he's been smashing that as well. But like, Donnie, like, he's almost getting 20 rebounds a game. Like, I can't believe that this is the number for points, rebounds, and assists for this guy.
Yeah, and because I think sometimes they just go by the computer and try to take the human element out of it, which is wrong. It's completely wrong because the way I just explained it, it makes sense, but a computer doesn't pick up on that, right? A computer just goes, well, here's what he does, and here's what the number should be, and this is probably where he's going to be, as opposed to him saying, I need to go out and make this right. Because if Denver loses tonight, it doesn't even matter. They're going to be in the playoffs. But if Denver loses and he goes for 38, 15, and 11, boom, he's going to be the MVP. He knows, which is crazy. If he goes for a 25, 9, and 8 tonight and Denver wins, and if he goes for 40 and 15, the Sixers lose, you know who's losing ground in the MVP race? Jokic.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And let me tell you this. Let him go for 25, 10, and 5 in a loss. And let Embiid go to Toronto and throw a 45 spot and a win and watch what happens. I don't disagree with you one bit there. And that's – like, what's the Embiid number tonight? Is it mid-30s again?
It sounds about right. It's a tougher matchup to go against Toronto because it's a more physical team than, like, the Indiana Pacers at that point. But he's on a mission. Like, he did it last – I need him. I need Joel Embiid to get 40 because him at home for the final two games against bad basketball teams, it might just be – just go out, try to get 70 in this game, as crazy as that sounds.
No, but Donnie, like, let's not forget, the scoring title is still very much so up in the air. Like, Embiid is out there playing every game, kind of has to give it his all. I still expect LeBron to swoop in for the last two.
Nah,
that's my
expectation. Trying to play it off.
I mean, man, it'd be nuts. This guy really, like, just punched two games and says, I can't get there. That'd be wild. Man, so there's Gronk and or Brady slander. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are live with you right here on a Thursday. Now, Donnie, Gronk and Brady.
It's not Brady Gronk slander, is... though. Yeah, it's not. It's right. Gronk slander versus an organization.
Oh boy! All right, so go ahead, lay it on me. Let me hear what's going on.
All right, so let me. Somehow I lost the actual. Okay, here we go. So Gronk was on. I think it looks like Jimmy Kimmel. And here's the quote.
Okay.
Rob Gronkowski on Bucks leaving him in the game to catch his bonus last season. Gronk says, I've seen that happen before. Not with the Patriots, though. They'd probably pull you before you hit that bonus. And then he goes, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like, can you, like, go to Bill Belichick before the game? And you're just like, hey, coach, now you know I need four more catches. And he just gives you that stone look. And next thing you know, like, you're inactive for that game. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of stuff, like, the Patriots would sound like they would do. Are you are you really going to tell me this right now? Hey, coach, look, man, you like to keep everybody happy. We're this game doesn't mean all that much to us right here. It'd be nice if I can get four catches for, like, $1 million. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Deactivated.
Yes. You know what? The crazy thing is like, that perception built up around Bill, you hear that. But and I don't know, again, like, you know, it's very funny how certain things Donnie and I, like, agree on, where you could write, you pick out of a lineup, right? Like, 8 out of 10 people will do nothing other than goo-goo gaga over Bill Belichick. Yet we found the two people who'll be like, yeah, no, like, that's one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen when they beat the Bills on that Monday night game.
Yep.
And I wonder, Donnie, if that Belichick act's getting a little tired. Like, Bill Belichick went out there last year and spent more money than, like, anybody in free agency. Like, remember last year? And, like, who is the big name? Like, Hunter Henry, cut it out.
Yeah, they're his type of guys. Like, remember, the one that always pops up was, like, the Jonas Gray. Like, just goes berserk versus, like, the Colts on a primetime game. Like, man, they found something here. And the word was, well, this guy doesn't work all that hard, and he really thinks he's about to get his shine on here. And then all of a sudden, it was like, what happened to that guy? I don't know. I just didn't work in the game plan. Bill, the guy ran for like 200 yards one night. It doesn't fit the game plan this week. Man. Like, don't you get too big or we'll cut you down and basically never play in the NFL again after you were shining for like a 3-game or 2-game stretch.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's so bizarre. And like, I this is the thing I've been saying too. Like, we keep putting the screws to Trey Lance and when will this team admit their faults and move on from this guy? He's not the one. But it's like, man, like, are we being a little rude here? Whatever it might be. And I've been trying to say the same things, though, around Mac Jones. Like, if this guy, Bill, wants to win at a high level on his way out, then, I mean, you know, if that's what he's trying to do, I don't think it's going to happen with Mac Jones. That's my belief.
But he's one of those guys that he can mold, right? Like, he knows, like, Mac Jones, you know, you're going to be a Patriot guy. You're in it for the long haul. It seems like if Mac Jones turns out to be a good quarterback, they'll expect him to take way less than market value because that's the Patriot way. And boy, you talk about a player, a quarterback that you and I remember all the guff that we took, especially me, because I was just ranting and raving all over Twitter, saying I will remember this Buffalo Bills New England Patriots game that Bill Belichick was the smartest coach of all time by basically telling you I messed up this draft pick. This kid can't win any. He's actually a detriment to our football team. Bill, genius. We'll see how much of a genius he is in the future now that other teams in the division are getting better. And you can't just go, well, we're always under the cap, and I stink at drafting wide. So it doesn't matter. Tom Brady, like, he'll make, like, just bums look good at wide receiver. Now you can't do that, which is why they have, like, 19 wide receivers on their roster every year, and they can't find one.
Like, it was so, you know, Donnie, like, every single time someone, like, adds a player to a wide receiver core, they go, who's stopping this core? Like, the Patriots were the first team in the history of football to not get that tweet because the wide receiver core is still absolutely tragic.
Yeah, like the tweets come out like, well, now N'Keal Harry looks like he's on his way out. Like, it's just like a revolving door. Like, you know, like when Randy Moss went like, whoa, Brady and Moss, holy moly. And now it's everybody in there. It's like, well, that's okay. Oh, we got Nelson Aguilar in town. Like, well, so?
It is quite ridiculous, though, right? Like, because, Belichick is – no one's trying to tell you that Bill's not a Hall of Fame, unbelievable coach.
Yes, correct.
It's that he is so adamant of doing things, you know, quote, his way. But, like, it's a little much. And, like, to – here's kind of the problem. Belichick, because he's so smart, when he gets unbelievable talent, they're at their absolute best, as proven with the outrageous numbers that you've seen from Brady, Gronk, Randy Moss, even the way he maximizes Stephon Gilmore coming from Buffalo. But Bill is so stubborn, it seems. He's like, I could do this at the absolute minimum. And that is not necessary, though. Like, it's not like, imagine, Donnie, if Belichick was, because the problem is Bill controls everything, but if you could take Les Snead's mindset with Belichick's ability, you'd be in such a good position.
And also, here's the thing that I like too, because it's almost like I'm not hoping for this to happen, because, you know, it's nice that Green Bay is good and they're a bettable team and Aaron Rodgers is there, but I like the organizations that claim themselves to be so smart. Now, granted, you had to make the trade for Brett Favre, which is great. You had to make a deal or you draft Aaron Rodgers. You do get a lot of credit for that. But all these teams with the great quarterbacks, and they go, this is the way you win. See this? Never go after free agents. You don't have to when you have the best player in the world already on your team. So it sort of masks it. What happened when Tom Brady, the Patriots, they just stay quiet in free agency. That's the genius of Bill Belichick. No. That's the genius of having the best football player to ever lace them up on your team is, because when you move on from that guy, look at Bill, man. He's showing how good he is as a head coach. He's going out and spending hundreds of millions of dollars in the free agent market, and he was praised for that. Where all those years he was praised for not doing anything, he does it. That's the greatest move I've ever seen. And it amounted to nothing because he had to, because he can't just say, whoa, our roster doesn't have talent. I don't even have Tom Brady to save this and just, you know, have this team atmosphere. I got to go out and spend, which is the same thing I'm talking about with the Green Bay Packers. Once they lose Aaron Rodgers, let's see how many free agents go up to Podunk, Wisconsin in the freezing cold and try to win that. Because I always remember growing up as a kid, they would bust NFL players' stones by saying, you don't perform here, I'll send you to Green Bay. No, don't do that.
Wow. Wow. I got to tell you, though, Don, did you see, because we're under the same guidelines, did you see the Freddie Freeman Ronald Acuna Jr.?
Yes, I tweeted. I loved it. I love that. It's like a Shaq and Kobe to me. Hey, looks like they're best of friends, and all of a sudden it's like him or me. We're not staying together anymore. That's what it felt like here. And if you are the Braves, what happens if you got a Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman in the same room going, him or me? We just won a title. I understand it. Yeah. I'm not playing with this guy anymore. I don't enjoy anything about this guy, him or me. Which it obviously didn't come down to that probably, but that's the vibe I got right away. I can't even believe I saw that article come out. Crazy.
Now, I got to tell you, but here's my quick read of this situation. Is Freddie Freeman is an outdated, old school, unwritten rule guy and couldn't stand that Acuna Jr. overtook Pimpin. Him and did it in a flashy way, and every time he hit a big home run, threw the bat into the clouds. That's my read, Donnie. You?
I'm amazed by it because you never really heard all that much, right? No. But there obviously is a new school, like the whole, Acuna, the young talent that they were bringing in there, the young Latin talent, where they play a different ball game there. Like Fernando Tatis would be like, you throw at my head, I'll hit a home run, and then I'll just flip the bat like out of the stadium to show you up even more than I even wanted to. Like there's a brand new attitude out here, and maybe he just doesn't get. But I wanted to read it because sometimes you get caught with these fake stories that come out. Like Noah Syndergaard actually got fake trolled on his own fake quote today, which was hilarious to see. Like you almost have to do like double checks, like what's actually happening. By the way, just to say real quick, the Noah Syndergaard thing, somebody quoted him as saying that they're the team to beat in L.A. because it's with the Los Angeles Angels. And Mookie Betts is slumping so bad, and he expects, more of it this year. And he should just, drink a protein shake to try to help himself out. And Syndergaard quote tweeted, goes, I don't know who the source is on this, but this is ridiculous. And man, everybody's just laughing. Like, he got by just some random fake account with, it's like Fax Sports as opposed to Fox Sports.
Yeah,
but he,
retweeted
back to it saying, I never said this stuff. It was hilarious. It was one of those where you take a good chuckle at that. Exactly. Yeah.
The guy, it's probably the same account, Donnie, where I'm over there reading.
Yes.
Castellanos said that DeGrom doesn't get runs for him and everything like that. That's pretty. But the Acuna Jr. thing, that's really interesting. And I, again, as I'm doing a very quick, just kind of saw this come across the timeline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't give the Atlanta Braves enough credit, man. I cannot give that team enough credit because that doesn't come out at any, and I got to give Acuna Jr. credit too. I don't know the way that reads and the way this goes. That basically, I can't stand. I think Donnie's similar. I can't stand the. I don't know how similar you are though. Sometimes I can't stand the outdated baseball mindset. I think it's quite simply pathetic, and it's part of the reason that baseball has been passed up in the way that it has been. And it seems that Donnie, he basically says he came up and they took the eye black away from him. You can't wear this.
Yeah, and
that's outrageous.
One of the reading was in his a quote tweet was, Freddie doesn't care that I get plunked. It's basically Freddie, protect me. Just stop pimping, then they won't hit you. So instead of being a teammate, I got you.
Yes, which is ridiculous from Freddie Freeman. Outrageous. Matt Olson's better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
I'm back. The tournament. Donnie, give me a live odds check on Tiger Woods. Well, hold on. How about it? Again, Donnie, who knows golf way better than you would think. We like to joke about certain things, but way better than you would think. Donnie, first of all, give people the breakdown. Tiger right here through, I think, nine holes, what he just experienced, I think, on the ninth hole.
Yeah, by the way, he's starting, and this is anticipated. He was 50-1 to win. This wasn't a guy that's coming in 13-1 on his game.
Yeah.
He played way better than I thought he would over the first 5 to 6 holes to get to 1 under, which is incredible. But you're starting to see now. shots like wayward here, but he's still a professional that knows how to scramble, and that's what you do at Augusta. There's no real penalty per se at Augusta. It's just you need to have shot placement. Like, you can drive your ball, you know, 25 feet to the left. There's no rough there. There's none. Like, you land on some pine needles, and he's been on that his entire career. But you're watching him labor, and we are what, 7-8 holes into a four-round tournament where it's clear that bending down to look at putts is painful to him. Standing back up after bending down to read a putt is painful for him. Walking up a fairway when it's hilly is painful for him here. And I want to see how this plays out, because it be like, you know, Tiger's back, he's back, he's back. Yeah, he's back playing golf, which is great. But you can't expect him to go toe-to-toe with, like, John Rahm for four rounds, like, in peak condition. I'm telling you, if he makes the cut, that's one of the biggest monumental things you will ever see. Well, make the cut, I expect. No, no. Make the cut. Make it to the weekend, and that'll be one of the greatest feats any golfer has ever done.
Like, now I have a question for you, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about golf and the rules and etiquette and things. Why is it that when at the tournaments they're not allowed to get on their carts? What's that about?
They call it a competitive advantage. No, you can't, drive a cart around?
Yeah, like everyone else does when they golf.
Yeah, well, they call it part of the sport of golf is having the stamina to walk like the 6-7 miles or whatever it is a day on the golf course. That's why you can't do it. Like, let's just say it's a hot, muggy day, 82 degrees. You walk 5-6 hours and stay out, you know, basically a 5.5 hour round in a major with a lot of pressure. They call it, like, walking takes a little bit out of you, as opposed to let me bomb at 340 and get in this golf cart and go stand next to the ball, you know?
Right. All right. So that's kind of, because boy, would Tiger love a golf cart.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Genuinely. Like, are you allowed to, like, sit down?
Yes.
Like,
there's porta potties for the players all over the place. Like, I went to the U.S. Open, which was at Marion, just outside of Philadelphia, up by Villanova. I would say maybe 2010, 2011. Justin Rose won it, but I got to see Tiger Woods. Like, that was the whole thing. Tiger, Phil, Dustin, you know, every big name golfer was there, and it was great to see. But there's a lot of downtime for those players. There's porta potties all over the place. Like, you walk down the fairway, and then you stop in here, go to the bathroom real quick. There's benches at every hole, and they do. They do. They sit down.
Yeah, I like Tiger's just gonna have to go to the bathroom like a bunch of times.
Yeah, exactly. So
just grab a breather.
Yep, grab something to eat, a little banana, maybe a granola bar, a little sandwich walking down the fairway. It's all that's what they do.
Man, that's fantastic. I'm so I was telling Donnie about this. I was talking to someone from the brigade who Max Homa to make the cut was just an unquestionable lock. Lay the juice. Don't think twice.
Did he tee off yet, by the way?
Yeah, he's like even through like seven, maybe.
All right,
like
cheering it on, sure.
Where do you come up with Max Homa? The reply I get is, how is he looking? Like, just refuses to answer the question.
Like, he was just expecting it to be. All. Yeah. Like, is this one of those things where we all have this inside of us? Like, you might say on the outside, yeah, I hope you win that bet. But you check the scores late on a Friday afternoon. That cut line says like -1, and he's like +4. You should have hit him up with a little text. Not even like you're watching, like, hey, man, you know, I'm going to get it. I just, you know, got off work. I'm going to watch the Masters. How's it going out there? Knowing full well how it's going out there. Yeah, that's one of those I like to send.
I've always said this. Like, it'll really kind of depend. Like, there's a lot of, if you root for someone to lose a bet, there's anger behind it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll tell you this, if someone tells you that they're going to bet a significant amount and you're still rooting against them, then there's like pure like hatred there.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
this is something where, like, if it were, say, like a $10 sprinkle, I'd be like, you know what, man? Unless you can give me an, because here's the thing, is I'm talking to someone who, like, will take pride in not giving you an answer. Like, don't ask questions. Like, if I tell you that Max Homa's making the cut, like, we'll talk when it's done. Like, and that's just the story there, right? But, oh, no, I mean, listen. And I think, and you'd be lying if you said you haven't come across some folks where you're like, man, you deserve to lose that bet.
Yes.
I hope that goes.
Like, what kind of wager is that? Exactly. Because if it's something well thought out and you like it, I don't agree with the play, but I like the breakdown. All right, go out and get it. as opposed to one of those, like, yeah, this no-brainer here. It's like, well, wait a second. When did you turn into an expert in this? Don't worry about this one. Just put your mind. You should be tailing with me right now. It's like, oh, all right. Let's see how this one goes.
I'm getting
like Max Homa is a really good one, though. That's not like, hey, man, follow me on this one on Colin Morikawa to be like top 40.
Yes. Yeah, well, because like Donnie, like it's the perfect range of like really big juice, but not like a clear cut loss.
Yes, correct.
Like it's like the
like you're investing at that point, right? Yeah, like you're investing. Like I got a really good golfer that has to play average golf. Let's go. As opposed to this guy never wins anything, and I need him to play well at a major. Hmm.
Ready for this? Ready? I can't. I'm gonna give you the full breakdown.
Go.
Can't believe this. He did an interview on Part of My Take, and I watched him on the Guy Mike Studs podcast during COVID a while ago. And I write back, he said Augusta was a lock, and the reply is, he was talking hot. I mean, you know, Donnie, here's the thing. I'm now sold and upset that I do not have a piece of Max Homa to make the cut.
So basically, before the golf tournament was even like a, you know, they're even growing grass for this tournament. He's like, will you wait till I get Augusta? Like, I got this thing down this year. All right. It's an interesting way to bet. A little emotional bet. Usually doesn't work out all that well, but let's see what happens.
See, I'm going off someone who, like, Donnie, in the same way, I don't want to say same way, but where you're like, listen, I'm betting Nikola Jokic because of the scenario. Like,
yes.
If anybody tries to tell me the Memphis Grizzlies hold opposing centers under their points props, like, I'm going to strangle you. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, yeah. I'm talking to someone who's like, listen, if I trust the person and what they're doing, and Donnie, Max Homa was talking hot. And here's the thing, like, sometimes like, it's all about the reply. Like, to phrase it that way, he was talking hot. I'm all, I might have to get a piece of Max Homa to win this whole thing. Yeah.
Now, see, here's what I would have liked, though. Like, I would have liked it if he came out and was like, you know what? I was watching Tiger. He's talking all this trash. Now I got to lay the wood and bet Tiger and see if it works out. Like, hey, a lot of people were doing that, and you could see where it adds up. But the fact that you just bring on, like, a random and just, like, let me get after this here, that's what makes it even better.
Is there, like, live, like, make the cut? No, I don't think so.
He's 120-1 to win the championship right now, Max Homa.
Well, I mean, now listen, that's not what we're looking for.
That's not bad. That's be Stuart Haugestad at. There's so many numbers. That's like a million plus a million. Like, I don't even know what that even is. Is that 100,000? Yeah.
Cam Smith, Don, is off to a start here, though, man. Imagine this guy just comes in and gets it done.
Yeah, who do I? Well, hold on now. I don't think my guys have teed off yet, maybe? Yeah, I was just going to say that for a second. Like, hold on here. Like, I actually forgot I put futures in on this thing for a second. I'm like, ooh, Cam Smith, who said that? I was like, wait a second, I actually have bets in this thing. That's what just happened to me right there. Look at the Masters leaderboard up here. See what's popping. By the way, we are, 30 minutes away from baseball season starting, which is nice as well. Sitting back here relaxing, watching a little Tiger Woods golf as he drops back to even, but made a nice putt to stay at even here and hit a nice drive in the fairway on the very next hole. So get some of those bad vibes out. Okay, I got the leaderboard here. Let's see.
That I was looking to get after in the Brewers game. But I don't know, like, if we bet something maybe and we do some first inning something to kind of root on there with the people and things like that.
Yeah, I have, for tonight, because I'm going to do a lot of fun stuff here in April. Like, I love betting baseball early, but just for big sweat dollars as apparent to that. I usually like to do, like, some, I don't know, props, parlays, even dip into some first fives. Like, I'm just going to take the better pitcher over the first five innings and see how it works. But I did take two hitter props that both of them are going to start later tonight, NL East style here. I actually went Juan Soto and Josh Bell each to get a base hit parlay plus 120. Okay. And I took Austin Riley tonight to get two hits by himself, which actually is a plus 240. And I'll tell you the reason why I did that. And we'll spend a little bit of time on baseball a little bit later in the show. But it was kind of funny because I was lining it up with Austin Riley and saying, okay, you know, who can I match it up with? Who makes sense? Because the lineup looks good. But again, you only have last year's like numbers to work off. there was nobody to pair Austin Riley up to feel comfortable. What are you talking about? Look at that lineup and look what they're going against. But it just it didn't fit the eye plan. Also, made a change here. I was going to go with the big boomstick in that Washington game with Juan Soto. And then I saw, like, you know, pitching splits from the previous year in that game and how it lined up. And I actually flipped it over to make sure a lefty was in the lineup along with Juan Soto to go after, you know, in that baseball game, to go after Tyler McGill because he was terrible against left-handed hitters, but okay against righties. And obviously Nelson Cruz, who's a great player and will probably get a base hit tonight. But I just switched it the last minute to go instead of Soto and Cruz to go Soto and Bell in that game. But I'm interested to see how some of these scores pop off because, as we said, it's not great. Like, it's not great weather out here across the, you know, landscape in a lot of these cities. Are there some opportunities to get some totals? I think there are, but more lean towards an under and, you know, just a couple hitter props here.
The where is this guy? Man, Adam Riley. I mean, I mean obviously, Don, like, that's plus 240 is a big hit. For two total bags is plus 110. Two total bases.
Yeah, see, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all because you're factoring it in, saying, all right, I mean, he's a power hitter. Like, he doesn't walk a ton, strikes out a little too much, but his ISO power numbers and his weighted on base average are very good, which means he drives the baseball, which is what he does. And also, you know, weather guy me, not real hot temperatures down there in Atlanta, but you do get that 12-mile-an-hour wind out to left field, which he's a right-handed batter, put that up in the air, and all it takes is to get one in the gap, and you're cashing that ticket.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, like, it took us a while to realize, but I feel like Don would be like, all right, here's my hitter prop parlay, like, four guys, like, three of them would hit home runs, and then the other guy would just go, like, 0-for-3 with, like, a hit by pitch, and, like, two ground outs. And like, it was just like wait a minute now.
It's almost like you should just take, like, hey, I'm going to have two guys in a hitter prop. Just put them to both hit a home run. You'll hit one out of every seven of them, and you take plus money down.
Well, I just think it was, and I mean, you know this better than me. I'm just kind of assuming. But, like, the numbers that you were looking at are maybe more power-oriented. So it lends itself to the matchup breeding home runs. Like,
yeah, correct.
But
that, like, we're not looking
I
like,
think,
like,
Donnie,
contact,
total bases
correct.
This year is, like, might the way to go.
Yeah, it might be a good one. It really might be.
Like, I'll probably just bet. I might just take your bet and just bet Austin Riley for two total bases.
Yeah. Yep. Because if he goes 1-for-4, he probably doubled. You know what I mean? It's probably the way it works out.
Yeah. Didn't just hit it right back up.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Beat a ground ball out to
infield swinging bunt.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. We'll be right back with you here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Do this at the top of the next hour. Quick one for you, Donnie.
Yeah.
You see the Cabrian Hayes deal?
Yes, I do.
Now, what is it in baseball that these guys are like, is it because of arbitration? Are they horrified of injury? Like, I mean, I can't believe I'm scoffing at $70 million, Donnie, but like 8 years, $70 million for Cabrian Hayes, who's like supposed to be like a guaranteed multi-time all-star, is a steal for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It is, but also the player's perspective is, all right, by the time – Cabrian Hayes, I'm going to assume, is in his young 20s, right? I mean, it's not a
A
guy. So he's saying, I'm getting $70 million. That means no matter what happens in my career, I stink. I got more money than God right now, basically, than 99.9% of the people on the planet. And also he could say, like, I'll tear this thing up, and then when I'm ready to hit free agency, and let's see what that, you know, total pot is where – guys are making $30 million now. How about in 8 years when it's $68 million a year? I can still cash in on that. And that's a question that get asked a lot. Because I know people say, I bet on myself. Do you know how hard it is? Do you know how hard it is for somebody to say, like, I'm really good at my job, but if you give me this 8-year, $80 million contract, I can just say my whole family's taken care of. My wife, my kids, or if you're just young, saying, Like, the pressure is off. Like, I can just concentrate on being me and being great. And if it doesn't work out, I'll try hard. But it's not like, oh, my goodness, man. I could have that $80 million, and I struggled last year. And now they're going like, eh, we'll let this thing play out. Like, you can't do that. Like, I would actually take it. Like, talk about, like, hedging bets. You're hedging on your future with still the opportunity to have, a jackpot if it doesn't work out, and, B, a triple jackpot if you play well and then you're a free agent at 28 or 29.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, he's 25, right? So an eight-year deal puts him at 33. But if he, I don't know, if he can kind of find a way in 5 years at 30 to kind of revisit the conversation, right? And and here's the thing, right? It's all relative. $70 million. You don't have to work another day in your life, $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so obviously you're set up in a great spot. Hour number two, baseball preview and more right here on Monday.